Yeah, our text tonight is Isaiah chapter 9, Isaiah chapter 9, verses 1 to 7.
Okay.
Repeat, Isaiah chapter 9, verses 1 to 7. Lord God, Heavenly Father, open now our eyes that we may behold the wondrous truths out of thy law. Inspire us, Lord, with thy mighty Holy Spirit, that we might retain the truths and practice them, Lord, with the help of your grace. Forgive us of our sin, Lord, and take upon the precious blood of our Lord Jesus that can wash away our sins and grant us peace. Cover me now, Lord, with your precious blood, and set me behind thy cross that only the Lord Jesus will be seen throughout this sharing of your word, and do a mighty change in our hearts, Lord, for your glory, for the benefit of our soul. In Jesus' name, amen. Isaiah chapter 9, verses 1 to 7. Nevertheless, the dimness shall not be such as was in her vexation, when at the first he lightly afflicted the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, and afterwards did more grievously afflict her by the way of the sea, beyond Jordan, in Galilee of the nations. The people that walk in darkness have seen a great light, and they dwell in the land of the shadow of death. Upon them hath the light shined. Thou hast multiplied the nation, and not increased the joy. They joy before thee according to the joy in harvest, and as men rejoice when they divide the spoil. For thou hast broken the yoke of his burden, and the staff of his shoulder, and the rod of his oppressor, as in the day of Midian. For every battle of the warrior is with confused noise, and garments rolled in blood. But this shall be with burning and fuel of fire. And verse 6, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace, and of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end, and upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom, to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. Amen. Now we will focus on verse 6. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace. There is a short story about Christmas cards. Several years ago, a woman who hurriedly purchased 50 Christmas cards without looking at the message inside. She quickly signed and addressed all but one, and then dropped them in a postbox. Just imagine her dismay when later she glanced inside the one unposted card and read these words: "This card is just to say a little gift is on the way." Did you get that, Sister Lorna?
Yeah.
Okay. So she bought 50 cards and then sent them and addressed them all and sent them away with postage, of course. And they reached all destination, but one, she did not post, and she read the words inside this card. It says, this card is just to say, a little gift is on the way. No doubt, there were 49 people wondering what happened to their presents. You see what happened? She depended on the little message that she just probably looked but did not read it. She did not put any message at all. She thought that's enough message there written inside the card. So the message is that this card is just to say, remind you, whoever receives those cards, that a little gift is on the way. So these 49 people who received the card is wondering, where is the present coming? When it's going to come? But of course, no gifts has come. How different was God's promise to us? Many years before the Savior was born, the Lord spoke through the prophet Isaiah. In just two verses below, two chapters previous from the verse from the chapter we read, in Isaiah 7:14, it says, the virgin will be with a child and will give birth to a son and will call him Emmanuel. That is in chapter 7, verse 14. And in verse 6 of chapter 9, we read, for to us a child is born, to us a son is given. Did God keep his word? Maybe a lot of people who read this, and perhaps who are listening, the three or four of us, wondering, did God keep his word? Indeed, he kept his promise. In Galatians 4, chapter 4, verse 4 says, but when the time had fully come, God sent his son. Well, that verse 6, for to us a child is born, to us a son is given. Those two words, child and son, they are the two terms which elaborate further on Emmanuel, the child due to be born to the virgin. And we read it. The virgin will be with a child and will give birth to a son and will call him Emmanuel. The virgin's child will also be the royal son of David with rights to be to the Davidic throne. In Luke, if we'll go to Luke 31 to 33, it is also written there in the New Testament, Luke chapter 1. Luke chapter 1, verse 31 to 33. It says, and behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He shall be great. He shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David, and he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. The word government, in going back to chapter number 6, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. The government, the word government there is mentioned in fulfillment of this verse. The Son will rule, which is the Lord Jesus Christ. The Son will rule the nations of the earth. Of course, Revelations 2:27 reveal that as well. Revelations 2:27. Which I would like to read. And he shall rule with a rod of iron, as the vessels of a potter shall they be broken to shivers, even as I received of my Father. And it shall rule them with a rod of iron. That's the fulfillment of that. A child, a son, has come to us, and his name is called Emmanuel. What about the wonderful counselor? Well, in contrast, going back again to verse 6 of chapter 9 of Isaiah, in contrast, this king, the promised king, or the Messiah, will implement supernatural wisdom in discharging his office. And that was fulfilled also, as can be seen in the 1 Kings chapter 3, verse 28, when King Solomon was given a wisdom by God when two women are claiming for that son. And that woman who did not really own the son, anyway, it's because it's neither, the son is neither you or mine, or mine or nor yours, let the son be cut. But of course, the real mother said to the king, to King Solomon, thou great king, please, I plead with you, give the son to continue to live so that the son will not die. And of course, the immediate wisdom that God gave to Solomon, King Solomon, is that give the son to the woman who cried. And of course, that's the wisdom God gave. And Solomon is a type of our Lord Jesus Christ as well, because God, through our Lord Jesus Christ, is full of wisdom. He is omnipotent God, he is omniscient God, who knows everything, who possesses all the wisdom, and he is everywhere, so that all his people who call unto him for wisdom, he will give to them that wisdom that they need. So that is the value of the wonderful counselor in seeking wisdom, you know, that God from his people, they seek wisdom to him, from him, and God is ever present to give those wisdom. And then the mighty God in verse 6 refers to a powerful warrior. The Messiah will accomplish the military exploits mentioned in Isaiah 9:3-5. I think we already read that. Thou hast multiplied the nations and hast increased the joy. The joy, they joy before thee, according to the joy in harvest. So that is the exploits, military exploits, that a powerful warrior such as the Messiah pictures in our mighty God. The everlasting Father as well, in that verse 6 of Isaiah, is that the Messiah will be a father to his people eternally. As the Davidic king, he will compassionately care for and discipline his people. But discipline is part of reshaping us, molding us according to his will and purposes. So that is a picture of what our everlasting Father in Christ Jesus does for us. So, reminding ourselves of these truths of the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that fight, His name is Emmanuel, God is with us, is various names. In verse 6 of chapter 9, is the wonderful counselor, the mighty God, the everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Now, in remembering these various names in our celebration this coming Christmas, on this special day of celebration, as we commemorate the birth of our Lord Jesus Christ, let us thank God that He meant what He said in His Holy Word. He not only promised, but He also gave. Thanks be to God for His indescribable gift. In 2 Corinthians 9:15, let's see that. Second Corinthians 9:15. It says, thanks be to God for His inexpressible gift. Well, the Apostle Paul summarized his discourse from that chapter, from that book in 2 Corinthians, by comparing the believer's act of giving with what God did in giving Jesus Christ, as His imperishable gift. Let's see that in Romans 8:32. Romans 8:32. Who shall bring any charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. It is God who justifies. That is the imperishable gift, that God's justification of sinners to be acceptable in His sight through our Lord Jesus Christ. God buried His Son and reaped a vast harvest of those who put their faith in the resurrected Christ. John 12:24. Let's look at that very quickly. John 12:24. Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. So when the Son of God died and was buried and resurrected, those who believe in Him, particularly the Apostle Paul, who was a persecutor of Christians at that time, when the Lord Jesus blinded him, He was powerless to resist the blinding light, so that the Lord will bring him into repentance of his sin and become a useful vessel. So that's the fruit. And of course, the fruit also are the 12 disciples of our Lord Jesus Christ, except the one that sold him for 33 pieces of silver. But these disciples were gifted by God and preached the gospel in the community in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and other parts of the world until it reached Europe. And that is how God's Son, who gave His life and died on the cross and was buried and resurrected, His life multiplied until now, those who believe in him, he not only give them eternal life, but he continue to discipline them and correct them until they are useful vessels in his kingdom. There are lots of criminals and drug addicts in the modern days who are termed incurable. They are the rejects of society, but God, in his grace, can change their lives. Even us, in the sight of God, we are sinners. He changed us for good, so that we'll continue to serve him and make known his abundance of grace, his saving grace and knowledge to our Lord Jesus Christ. That is how our Lord Jesus Christ became truthful. He is the head of the church. And until now, souls are being saved, and whatever the opposition does, the more the Word of God is being persecuted, the Word of God continued to penetrate the impenetrable. That's why God is powerful, He is omniscient, and He is everywhere. This is our great inheritance in Christ, the power of the gospel, the power of Christ, the power of the Holy Spirit, and the Heavenly Father. This is the imperishable gift that is in Christ Jesus, so that this imperishable gift makes it possible for believers to joyfully and sacrificially and abundantly sow and reap. And they give, and as they give, like the Lord Jesus Christ, in the way, in the manner the Lord Jesus Christ gave, they show forth Christ likeness. In Ephesians 5, show us that truth. Ephesians 5, verses 1 and 2. Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also hath loved us, and hath given himself for us as an offering and sacrifice to God, for a sweet smelling aroma or savor. That is a wonderful word we'll continue to look into. Christ loved us and gave himself for us. The Lord is the supreme example in his self-sacrificing for lost sinners. He took human sin upon himself and gave up his very life that men might be redeemed from their sin, receive a new life and holy nature, and inherit eternal life. In 2 Corinthians 5:21, we read it this way. 2 Corinthians 5:21. For our sake he made him to be sin, who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. So for our sake, the Heavenly Father made his Son to be sin sacrificed for us. And that's those sin that he carried upon the cross were our sin. You see the loving kindness of God and his supreme love, his compassionate love. Instead of allowing us to be punished for our sin, God did not allow that to happen. In his great pity, grace, and mercy, he allowed his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to die in our behalf, so that we might become the righteousness of God. Praise God for that. They are Henceforth, as Christians, we are imitators of the great love of Christ our Lord in the newness and power of the Holy Spirit, who enables us to demonstrate divine love, the love of Christ. We pray that in this season, the love of Christ will really touch other lives in our celebration. Let us not be sucked in on the merry, joyful celebrations of the human flesh, but help us. Let us ask the Lord to use our celebration to share the good news to others when that opportunity comes. But let us pray for opportunity so that we can share this good news. For this is the best gift that we can share to others, the gift of the good news of eternal life. As a fragrant offering that the Lord Jesus Christ gave for our sin, Christ's offering of himself for fallen sinners like us, the offering pleased and glorified his Heavenly Father, because it demonstrated in the most complete and perfect way God's sovereign, perfect, and unconditional and divine kind of love. This is the love that cannot be paid, cannot be repaid, cannot be equaled. This is a compassionate love that penetrates the unlovable, the rejects of societies. Well, as a new person in Christ, as we have this new life in Christ, we are also can be an instrument of sharing this unconditional, perfect, divine kind of love that's in us. May our prayer be that this can be shared not only this coming Christmas, but every day during the year, that God will grant us that we will not only love those who love us, but we will love those who are the rejects, the people who are unlovable in the society's eyes. May God grant us that kind of love. Even those others who have caused problems to us or troubles and trials, may we pray that the Lord will enable us to show this agape or divine kind of love, the love of our Lord Jesus in this holiday season. Leviticus describes five offerings commanded by God for Israel. The first three are the burnt offerings in Leviticus 1:1-7. These burnt offerings defeat Christ's perfection, the perfection of his sacrifice, the perfection of his love, the perfection of his grace and mercy, and his justifying grace, and his righteousness. The grain offering in Leviticus 2:1-16, it defeats Christ's total devotion to God in giving his life to please the Father, in surrendering his life to die on the cross for our sin. This is Christ's total devotion. And the number three offering, the peace offering in Leviticus chapter 3:1-7, depicting his peacemaking between God and man. That is the peace offering of our Lord Jesus Christ. It depicts his peacemaking between God and man. All of these three were a pleasing aroma to the Lord. And the other two offerings, the sin offering in Leviticus 4, and also the guilt and trespass offering in Leviticus 5, were although they were repulsive to God because they were depicted as bearing our sin, but in the end, they always defeat Christ as our sin bearer. And in the end, when the redemption was accomplished and finished, the whole work of Christ had pleased His Heavenly Father completely, so that we as sinners, when we are convicted of our sin and we cannot go nowhere to wash away our sin, it is only by Christ's precious blood and repentance of our sin that He can wash our sin and make us a brand new person to be a useful vessel in His kingdom. May that be our encouragement as we celebrate this Christmas. Though, like those 49 people who receive a card that they did not receive anything, but in a tradition where giving to our friends and our relatives, but we did not receive anything, let us not be discouraged, because the best gift of all is our Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who is Emmanuel God. God is with us. Let us thank God for His indescribable gift, imperishable gift. The gift of this world will perish, but our greatest gift, which should make us satisfied and joyful, is this special gift, our Lord Jesus Christ. May God be glorified in thinking about our Savior, His beloved Son, who is the best gift and the eternal gift, the only true gift that will last forever until we see Him in heaven. Amen.